good singing this morning. We'll take our Bibles today to turn to Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number 10. Appreciate Brother Carl leading the singing, Rihanna playing the piano for us this morning. I made sure I left my mic off until the singing was done before I turned it on. As you're turning there, just remember to pray for Pastor Zach and his family while they'll be traveling this week heading home. And for Tom and Heike, remember to pray for Brother Bird and his health and the Lord take care of him and be able to get back with us soon here to worship with us. Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to take a look at verse 7 this morning. With it being Memorial Day weekend, and we're going to take a look today at remembering the heroes. A lot of heroes that have given their lives for us that we can have this freedom that we have. So as you turn there to Proverbs chapter 10, let's stand just for a moment. We're only going to read one verse. So you just be up for a few seconds in observance and honor the Word of God as we read from it. The Bible says this: the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Again, it says, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. You may be seated. Our Father, again, as we bow our hearts before you today, how important it is as your word now goes forth that it doesn't fall upon deaf ears, that each and every one of us would have ears that are ready to hear, that the Holy Spirit will teach us today as we learn from the Word of God, as we take time to look to the heroes of the faith here just in a few moments. We pray that you will just allow us to be able to realize that these men and women we see in the Scriptures were men and women just like us. They had earthly parents, born in sin just as we are. But yet, Lord, they yielded their lives to you and allowed you to do a work through them. We pray, Lord, today that you'll just bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Little history. Tomorrow, of course, being Memorial Day. Originally, it was called, who knows, Decoration Day. It used to be called Decoration Day. It was a day set aside the last Monday of May every year to remember those that gave their lives for our freedom. Memorial Day was officially proclaimed in May 5th of 1868 by General John Logan, a national commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, in his General Order Number 11. That just sounds so official, doesn't it? And it was first observed on May 30th that same year when flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. You think of the many flags that will be displayed on the graves of those that have given their lives for our freedom throughout all the cemeteries around the world today. Those American men and women that fought bravely and proudly for you and I. There's some statistics that are from the American War and Military Operations Casualties. They're offline, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but just to show you the just what it's all about with the lives that were given. You know, these started all the way back with the Revolutionary War. We won't go all the way back that far, but just for instance, the Civil War. Lives that were given for that Civil War were 364,511 lives. That's a lot of people, isn't it? Then you got World War I, over 116,000 Americans died for our freedom. World War II, over 400,000 men and women bravely gave their lives for our freedom. The Korean War, over 36,000 gave their lives. The Vietnam conflict, over 58,000. The Persian Gulf War, and 383,000, and the many other small wars since then, a lot of men and women have given their lives for you and I. Memorial Day is that day that we remember those that fought bravely for you and I. It's also a day where you and I remember those that have given their lives in the line of duty here at home. The firemen, policemen, everyday people that may have given their life to try to save someone else. Memorial Day is also a day where we remember just our loved ones. We all have loved ones that have passed on, parents, siblings, family members, friends. It's a day that we look back and remember those. And today we're going to take a look from the scriptures. If you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look this morning as we remember those heroes that gave their lives for you and I. We're going to look back this morning and just remember some of the heroes of the faith. Those that gave their lives for the Lord, for the gospel, to be able to go forth. That gospel message that eventually worked its way down through the centuries to you and I, where we were able to hear it and able to come to trust Christ as our Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. But when you look at this chapter, and we're not going to read the whole chapter and read every passage in it and stuff, but we're going to go through and point some of them out here and what their faith that they had, in serving the Lord and giving their lives, what it represents to you and I today. And the first one, of course, you read in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And who is that Word of God? We know the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men, according to John chapter 1. That's Christ. So that things which are seen were made, not made of things which do appear. There was no Big Bang theory. No Big Bang took place in the cosmos billions of years ago, as they say. Because in order for that to have taken place, there would have had to been gases and dust that would have had to come together in a fiery mixture that would have exploded then and would have created this dead world what it is today. See, if there was a Big Bang theory, there would have had to been something, wouldn't there? We see here in this passage in verse 3, things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, this world was spoken into existence. It was spoken to existence. Our Father in heaven, of course, through His Son, He allowed this world just to be spoken into existence. And then it goes on down through here and it starts talking about the faith of these men and women, these heroes of the faith that they had in God to obey the things that He told them to do. And the first one it talks about is Abel there. And we know the story of Abel there in verse number 4. It says, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. We know the story of Cain and Abel, two brothers. Abel bought the young sheep. Cain bought the fruit of the ground. Cain's offering represented his works that he toiled and sweated over, and he brought those works to God. And Cain bought that sheep, a sacrifice that he offered there upon the altar to the Lord. And we know the Bible says that he took Cain's offering and despised it because it represented works, but Abel's offering he received because it was a picture of his son that would one day come and die upon that cross of Calvary. Abel represents the worship of faith. He worshiped God. He bought that sacrifice as he worshiped God. Then there's Enoch. And we know that Enoch, of course, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch represents the walk of faith for you and I. One of the heroes of the faith. He represents the walk of faith. He lived for the Lord. His life pleased the Lord. And one day the Lord asked Enoch, hey, do you want to come and spend the day with me? And I'm sure every one of us, if the Lord would ask us if we wanted to go spend the day with him, we'd say yes, wouldn't we? Well, Enoch said, sure, I'll come spend the day with you. And guess what? The Lord took him up to heaven, spending the day with the Lord. And of course, Enoch never came back, did he? Because there's no night in heaven. He's still spending the day with the Lord, just as if it happened. And yet look how long ago that has been. He represents that walk of faith. You and I, as Enoch, we need to walk in a way that we please the Lord. We need to walk in a way that we please the Lord. You got Noah. We know the story of Noah and the ark and what God told Noah to do in verse number 7 there. We know that Noah, of course, he built that boat where there was no water even around. People laughed at him and ridiculed him and his sons. And as they built that ark for over 120 years, building that ark, that's a long time, isn't it? And you think having to, you know, bring that lumber in and all the things they had to do with it. And they built that boat. Noah represents the witness of faith. Because even though he was ridiculed, laughed at, made fun of, his life was a witness for the Lord that he was obeying God. And he would try to tell people, hey, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. Nobody had no idea what he was talking about. Today, you and I, we are to be like Noah. Today, we preach the fact that Christ is coming again and that trumpet's going to sound and we're going to go up to meet him in the clouds and to live forevermore with the Lord. Those that have trusted Christ as your Savior, we preach about something that many a people seem is unbelievable. People think, how can that happen? How can that be? What do you mean Jesus rose from the dead? That's impossible that somebody would rise from the dead. But Noah, of course, representing the witness of faith, you and I, by faith, we accept that fact also, that Christ has died, and we preach that gospel message that others can come to know him as their Savior. You got Abraham in verse 8. Abraham, of course, represents the obedience of faith when God told him to go to a land that he had no idea where he was going, but he obeyed God, didn't he? There's times God's going to tell you and I something to do, and we don't understand it. You want me to do what? You want me to go where? I remember when Don and I, when we first started we was planned on going to the mission field in Africa. And of course, we were going to go to a country that was called, it was a homeland, and it was called Botswana. Took us a while to learn how to say that. And so we went before the mission board, and we had our prayer cards all made and our displays, and we started out on the road on deputation, traveling all around and raising support and everything. And then of course our mission field closed up to where we were going to go work with another missionary, and we ended up going to back to our home church and serving there until we started the church up in Bowling Green. But before that time came for us to go, when God started dealing with my heart to go, I was thinking, man, I don't know what about this. And I'd say something to Donna, and she's like, I'm not going. You know, and we ended up going that way for a while, and then we had a missionary came to the church one night and preached and said, if the Lord asked you to do something, wouldn't you be willing to do it? If the president walked in here of this country and asked you to do something, we'd be willing to do it. So that night, I went down to the altar, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, if you want me to go, I'm willing to go. Well, little did I know it, but Donna walked down the aisle that night too. And we got back to our seats, and I said, what'd you pray? She said, well, what'd you pray? I said, I told the Lord I'd go if he wants us to go. She said, well, I told him I'd follow. And that's when we started out. The obedience of faith. Life's not been easy for any of us, but by faith we follow the Lord and do what he wants us to do. You got Sarah in verse number 11. We know the story of Sarah. It says, herself received strength to conceive seed when she delivered a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah represents the strength of faith. The strength of faith. God gave her power and strength to do the impossible. And that was pretty impossible, wasn't it? When you think about it, if we look at it today in today's ages, 90 years old to have a child. That'd be a miracle. But yet God gave her the strength that she needed. She represents that strength of faith. See, these are all heroes for you and I. Because sometimes in this life, as we're looking at these heroes of the faith, we think so many times, I can't do that. How am I going to do this? We can look back to these men and women that are just like you and I, as they said, flesh and bone, born just as we were born, but yet they did what God wanted them to do. They were willing just to be obedient. And as long as we're willing, if we're willing, God is able, isn't he? God is able. She represents that strength of faith. You and I, Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. No matter what it is, if you think I can't do it, you know what? He'll give you strength to do it. He'll give you strength to do it. I need to be a witness to my neighbor, you might think, but I'm afraid to do it. He'll give you strength. He'll allow you to be able to do that. You got Isaac in verse 20. Isaac, of course, represents the future of faith. God promised an innumerable nation by Isaac. And you stop and you think that all became come forth because Abraham and Sarah were obedient. You think, what does God hold in the future for you and I? What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. Do you know? Nobody knows. But we do have the promises of God that no matter what comes our way, he'll be there. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So many times we forsake the Lord, but you know what? He's still there. He's still with us. We know that promises of God, we know that, you know, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know that in the future, one day he will come back. We know that. See, Isaac represents that future of faith. Abraham realized that there'd be a great nation that would come through his son. So you stop and think, even when Abraham took Isaac up that day to sacrifice, for that sacrifice, when God said, sacrifice your son unto me. And Abraham, in obedience, he didn't argue and say, yeah, but Lord, you said there would be an innumerable nation through him. Now you're wanting me to kill him? Abraham was obedient, wasn't he? He did what he didn't understand. He took his son up, and they went up there to be sacrificed and took the wood. And Isaac said, we got the wood and we got the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice, which he did, didn't he? And they got up there, and just as Abraham was ready to take his son's life, the angel stopped him and said, stop. God just wanted to test you and see how far you would go in obedience. And in that thicket, it says there was a young ram, a sheep that represented Christ the Savior there again. Isaac representing that future of faith. In verse 21, you got Jacob. We're scurrying down through these pretty good, aren't we? I can tell everybody's getting hungry out there. Can't smell the food coming up yet, but you got in verse 21, Jacob, and the Bible says, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Jacob represents faith till death, worshiping God till the day we die. We saw that this morning for Sunday school when Paul said, I fought a good fight. I kept the course. I finished my course. I kept the faith. We're just to be faithful to the Lord. No matter what comes our way, no matter what trials come our way, we need to just be faithful to the Lord till the day we leave this world. There'd be nothing worse than to lay on a deathbed as a child of God and say, I wish I would have lived for the Lord. You know what? We can live for the Lord. Maybe you might say, I haven't been living for the Lord. Well, you know what? Today's as good as any day to get started. And the Lord is good to us. Jacob represents faith until death. Then you have Joseph in verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph represents the fulfillment of promises. Joseph, of course, is a picture of Christ. Joseph was rejected by his brethren. Remember when they threw him in the pit? Took his coat of many colors and put a little blood on it and took it back to dad and said, Joseph's dead. He went on to Egypt as he was sold into slavery, went on to Egypt and became number two in command. Boy, something you think of the fulfillment of those promises. Then when the famine came, his brothers came and they didn't know it was him. Boy, what a story that is. See, all promises are fulfilled by Christ, and without him, nothing is possible. Joseph, of course, was faithful in his service to the Lord, even there with Pharaoh, and God blessed him. You and I need to realize God will fulfill his promises. What has he promised you? What has he promised all of us? First of all, he's promised salvation, hasn't he? For anyone that calls upon his name. Doesn't matter who you are, how much you make, what color your skin is. Doesn't matter what walk of life we've come from. He says he gives us that promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful promise that is. There's a promise that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. There's a promise that he promises you and I that he'll take care of us while we're here upon this earth. He gives that story back in the Matthew about the flower of the field and the birds of the air, and you think how he takes care of them, and he takes care of us. He knows all about us. He knows, as the Bible tells us, he knows our heartaches. He knows right down to the very number of hairs that we have on top of our head, and that'd be a lot of counting, wouldn't it? But he knows all about us, and he's there for us. You thought I was going to make a bald joke there, didn't you? He knows all about us. But you know what? The Lord is good to us. And Joseph represents the fulfillment of those promises. And you think about Moses then in verse 23 and 24. Moses represents the sacrifices of faith. Here's Moses, grows up in the house of Pharaoh. Then he decides to join himself to his own people. It says when he was born, verse 23, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assuaging to do, were drowned. Boy, what a story Moses has there. Moses represents the sacrifices of faith. Can you imagine growing up in the king's house and then making a choice to say, you know what, this isn't for me. I'm going back to my people. My people that are poor, my people are slaves, but I'm going to go back to them and be with them and live with them. What a decision he made to go back and to forsake what the world had to offer him, to go back to his own people and to follow God and be obedient to what God wanted him to do. There's things that you and I many times we have to give up. Things in this life that we need to give up that displease the Lord, that will cause us to have a testimony that's not pleasing to him, that we need to give up to serve the Lord then with all of our heart. Moses was willing to do those things. And in the great way God used him, could you imagine that day at the Red Sea, the miracle that took place there? There's some that say, you know, they write their books and say, well, he didn't really pass through the midst of the Red Sea. It was just a little shallow spot that had dried up and all these things. Well, if that's the case, then how did the walls come crushing down and drown Pharaoh's soldiers and bury the chariots and all those things? You know, it wasn't through a little dry patch. I believe they passed right through the midst of it. And the walls of water on both sides. Could you imagine the fear of the people having to go through that, of the children of Israel? Having to walk through that? You know, we hear so much about Pharaoh's army and stuff, but could you imagine seeing these walls of water on both sides of you that are taller than standing up, looming over your head, and wondering, are they going to fall on me? What happens if this water starts to gush back down on me while I'm in the middle? It took some faith for them to cross through that Red Sea, didn't it? But they obeyed God, and they followed their leader, Moses, as he led them. and they went through the midst of the sea. And as soon as they all got on dry ground on the other side, then the waters came together, destroyed the armies of Pharaoh. Boy, what a story that was. And you think how that took place. And of course, in the Passover, you know, this message in that Passover, when they were told to, before they came out of Egypt, to take that lamb and sacrifice it and put its blood upon the doorpost and the mantle, and representing the blood of Christ that was be shed upon the cross of Calvary for your sins and my sins. And all that were in the house would be saved. Now, can you imagine those that were in the house were still fearful when they heard all the screaming and crying and yelling and wailing of those that were losing their firstborn? Do you imagine there was some fear in their hearts while they were in the house? But yet God protected them, didn't he? And you and I in this world, many a times, we might walk in fear. We might worry and fret. We might think, what's going to happen to me? I don't understand this. How am I going to get out of this? Fear is just a natural, sometimes, emotion that we have. But God is greater than our fears. God can help us. He is there. Moses representing that sacrifice of faith. Then you got Joshua in verse number 30. Doesn't mention his name, but we know who it is, because all you got to do is read that passage. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Joshua, the hero of the faith, represents the foolishness of faith. How foolish was that to these soldiers on top of those walls, looking down, watching them march around the city? And they're probably thinking, what are those nuts doing? What do they think they're doing? They have no weapons of warfare. They're just marching around. And the seventh day, they marched around it with the horns a-blowing, and then all of a sudden, those walls, as the song goes with the little kids, the walls came tumbling down. You know what? Those city of Jericho that day and those armies that were there, they realized something miraculous just happened. That God in heaven is real, and that he just used his children to cause a great defeat to take place this day. How foolish it must have looked, but how foolish does the things that we do look to the lost? How foolish does it look to them when we go to church on Sunday? How foolish does it look to them when we say we read our Bibles? How foolish is it to them when we say we pray? But then you find, you know, many a times when they know you're a Christian, who is the one they come to when they got a problem and ask you to pray for them or to pray for a loved one? That foolishness don't look so foolish when it becomes reality to them. But Joshua representing that foolishness of faith. And then, of course, then there's Rahab in verse 31. Rahab represents the unlikely place of faith. Who would have thought that a harlot would have trusted God and helped those spies? The least likely one that you would have thought would have done it, did it. She took him, she hid him, and then, of course, the Bible says there, she perished not then with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. The unlikely place of faith. You know, so many times you and I might look at others and think that it's impossible for them to be saved. We look at their lifestyle, the things they do, the way they look. But you know what? It doesn't matter at the way they look and the things they do. I was a good boy growing up in church. But without Christ, I would have still died and went to the same hell. You know what? We need to look on their hearts as the Lord does and realize, hey, they're a person. They're a person that needs the gospel, and be willing to share it with them. Salvation can come to anyone that is willing to open their heart and receive him as their Savior. Then it goes on, of course, and it talks about all the others that by faith they served God, and even unto death, they gave their lives for the Lord, so that The obedience to God would allow the gospel to continue to go forth as far as till Christ would be born. Talks about all these different ones with men and women. And look in verse 33, it says, all these different ones who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. Look what the many of these heroes of the faith had to go through, all these things. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They gave their lives. They had not yet received the promise yet. What was that promise? Christ was coming to die upon that cross of Calvary. All these heroes of the faith, of course, we realize when they died, they went to paradise. And then when Christ came, died upon that cross and resurrected, that's where the Bible says that he led captivity captive. He went down and he took all of them on up to heaven then. What a wonderful message it is just in that. But you look at these heroes of the faith and all these things that they went through. You know, you think of the heroes of the lives that were given for our freedom. But you look at the lives that were given for the faith that we have today, the word of God that has come forth, the salvation that you and I have. These are heroes of the faith that you and I can look to. But then not only that, as we look back today and remember, one last thing, we need to remember our Savior, don't we? As a child of God, we remember our Savior. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, and look over at that passage. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and they tell us those are those witnesses we just read about in chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. It's easy to quit. Quitting is always easy, but persevering takes dedication. It takes work. It takes commitment. And it tells us, lest we quit and quit doing what the Word of God teaches us to do and quit serving the Lord, we need to remember what Jesus went through. Boy, and look what he went through. How he gave his life for you and I. We saw that in Sunday school this morning. We looked at it. We already all know the gospel message. That Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. We all know the passages in Romans that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We know the promise in Romans 10:13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we've done that. We've trusted Christ as our Savior. So if he's our Savior, he's who we're looking to, why quit? We'd be like Peter, when he said, well, Lord, where will we go? If we quit following the Lord, where are we going to go? Where else is there to go? Back to the world? I don't know about you. I don't want to go back to those things I used to do. The habits used to have. I mean, boy, some of those habits after salvation took years to get rid of. Who wants to go back and pick them back up? Start doing them again. And then feel bad and dirty before God. And so who wants to go back to those things? We need to consider him. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is because of Christ that you and I today can have heaven as our home. It's because of Christ that today you and I have forgiveness of our sin. It's because of Christ that today our sin debt has been erased by the blood of Christ, as of that lamb, without spot, without blemish. As we remember the Lord, remember he loves us. Remember he provides for us. Remember that he will deliver us. He'll deliver us from this present evil world. Sure, there's going to be trials that we go through. And a lot of trials, too many times we pray, Lord, get me out of this mess. You know what? Sometimes he's not going to get us out of the mess. But he helps us through the mess, doesn't he? Do you think of Daniel in that lion's den? Do you think Daniel wanted to go to the lion's den and be covered over and spend the night with the lions? I don't think he did. But yet the Lord was with him, wasn't he? What about that faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as Nebuchadnezzar told him, you either worship me or I'm going to throw you into that fiery furnace. Do you think they relished the thought of being thrown into the fiery furnace? I wouldn't have. But they, of course, their faith, they said, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't have to even think about giving you an answer. We know what we're going to do. We're going to follow the Lord and be faithful to him. And we know the story how that ended up. Just like Daniel, the Lord shut the lion's mouth with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible says Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, didn't we throw three men in there? And I see four. And the fourth is like as unto the Son of God. He's with us. He'll deliver us. One day that trumpet will sound, and you and I go on home to be with the Lord forevermore. Amen. What a wonderful day that's going to be. So for conclusion this morning, as we remember those that have passed on before us, those heroes of the faith or heroes of our land that gave their lives for our freedom, as we remember loved ones that have passed on, maybe we decorate the graves of our loved ones. Let's always stop and just remember these heroes of the faith, too, that gave their lives to teach us and show us that it is possible to live for the Lord, even when there's evil all around us. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's bow our heads this morning. And today, with any message, as the word of God goes forth, and there might be one here today that has never made that decision to trust Christ. Why not make this the day of salvation? Where you just open your heart and say, Lord, I know I've sinned. I'm a sinner. Lord, I know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. I believe that you died for me upon that cross of Calvary. And today I receive you to be my Savior. Forgive me for my sin. Take me to heaven. If you've not made that decision, why not make that decision today? Maybe today you're here and you think, you know what? Sometimes I just don't do the things I need to do in obedience to God's word. Why not make this the day where you get up, brush yourself off, realize with the Lord there's always a new beginning. Every day is a fresh and a new. And ask for his help just to do that which he wants us to do. Be faithful to him.